Listeners, sometimes I may say things that may make you go, what? Is he absolutely crazy? And this is going to be one of those times that I may get that out of you. As I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that the New York Knicks are going to make the playoffs this year. Wait for it. Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants or Jets, Yankees or Mets, Knicks or Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
Hey, yo, boom! And please pardon my fresh as we bring you all new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, July 15th, 2019, and this show airs every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Pocket Cast, Google Play, TuneIn, CastBox, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss a damn thing. And for all the new listeners, that's also where you go to catch previous tapings of the show so you can catch up to speed on what's been going on. We're also on social media, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter, LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button. And if you got any questions that you'd like for me and the Mad Mike to answer, you can always shoot them through email to lloyd@partmyfresh.com. Or you can send them directly to the website. A great show for you today, as always, listeners. We're going to finish up with the Summer League basketball. The Knicks finished their Summer League campaign. We're going to talk about give our thoughts on R.J. Barrett. We're going to talk about Mitchell Robinson. We also got to talk about Marcus Morris, who signed with the New York Knicks after backing out on the deal with the San Antonio Spurs. We're going to talk Russell Westbrook trade, as Russell Westbrook has been traded from the OKC Thunder to the Houston Rockets. And we're also going to talk some baseball as the MLB trade deadline fastly approaches, which is July 31st. The Yankees are on the knees for some starting pitching. Me and Mad Mike want them to get Marcus Stroman. Let's see if Cashman can get the deal done. So as always, listeners, let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo! Let's get it!
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we gotta find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
What's good, Lloyd? I was on the East Coast. I was out to check out the Ryan Howard celebration. It's amazing to think about how long he's retired and how great of a career he really had for the Phillies. He almost seemed underappreciated.
Listen, how about the fact that the Mets is still paying Bobby Bonilla money, Matt Mike? How amazing is that? Yes, Bobby Bonilla is still collecting paychecks from the New York Metropolitans.
And here's what I say to the people that are like, wow, Bobby Bonilla's still getting paid. If you're the New York Yankees, this is exactly why you don't want to trade for Max Scherzer. You know how much money that man has deferred from his contract with the Nets? You're going to got this guy and be paying him for the next 25 years.
Yeah, how crazy is that? But, let's talk. Listen, New Yorkers, for the most part, we hit the panic button really quickly, Mad Mike. And some of us might have hit the button really quickly when it comes to New York Knicks number 3 overall pick, R.J. Barrett, who ended his summer league, just as we all hope, and just as the Knicks organization hope, Mad Mike. Shooting guard, he wanted to play in the final summer league game, which is a consolation game against the Washington Wizards. And the Knicks brass was leaning towards shutting him down, Mad Mike, after 4 games to avoid any injury. Obviously, we don't want him to get hurt. We don't want nothing to happen to him. But R.J. Barrett felt that he needed to play to gain some more learning experience. All right? And Barrett is glad that he played. He finished with nearly a triple-double in his final game, Mad Mike, and what I thought was his most efficient outing in Las Vegas as the Knicks beat the Wizards 103-87 at UNLV Center. He shot 7-for-13. He posted his third straight double-double game. He got to the basket, notched 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 21 points, I'm sorry, Mad Mike, 10 assists and 8 rebounds, and he just had 2 turnovers. His outside shooting needs work. We all know that. All right? We knew he wasn't a great outside shooter coming into this draft. Right? We knew he wasn't a great shooter. He shot a late three-pointer, what made it 2-for-4, and he finished the tournament 7-for-30. But he really redeemed himself after starting the summer league with 2 horrific outings. And those 2 horrific outings had people going bananas. And I might have been a little harsh on the show. We talked about it. Might have been a little harsh on him, but I also said he has a learning curve. All right, listen, everybody's talking about how Steph Curry didn't shoot the ball well in summer league. Trae Young didn't have a great summer league, and he ended up having a really good rookie campaign. So we expect a lot of New York, and that's understandable, but we also got to get, what is he, 19 years old, Matt Mike?
19
years old. 19-year-old young man. He finished the summer league campaign, Matt Mike, averaging 15.6 points. But he only shot the ball 33.4%. Listen, and when you talk about second-year man Mitchell Robinson and Kevin Knox, they played well in the summer league, Matt Mike. Alonzo Trier had a really good first game, and everybody picked this New York Knicks team to win the summer league campaign or the summer league, whatever you want to call the tournament, whatever the case may be, because they were playing a lot of players that were on the NBA roster last year. And I thought people were unfair for, I guess, almost critiquing the Knicks for doing that. It's their second year. That's what the summer league is. The summer league is either first-year players that are coming out of college into the NBA or second-year players. And that just goes to show how good of a first year these Knicks had. Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, and Alonzo Trier. And according to reports, Mad Mike, Robinson and Knox wanted the chance to play another game with the new rookies. Mad Mike, let's also give props to Ignas Brazikas. He finished with 17 points on 7 of 11 shooting. Robinson was ruthless. He had 18 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks. An undrafted player, Kenny Wooten, Mad Mike. That's the name to look out for. Kenny Wooten, he should most likely be on a training camp. He registered 5 blocks. He doesn't have much of an offensive game, but he protects that rim, high energy. He could jump through the roof. And then you had Kadeem Allen. He's on a 2-way contract as well. I would tell you, Matt Mike, out of everybody that I've seen play, Brazikas was probably the one person that I was wowed by. Really didn't see him play that much in college. Really didn't know nothing about him. When the Knicks made the selection, I had to go on YouTube and look up some videos on this young man. Nice shooting touch. He can drive to the basket. The Knicks seem to, do okay with finding gems in the second round. And this young man could be another gem, Matt Mike. He could be another gem. And look, these are young players that the Knicks could build around. Young players that the Knicks could build around. Which is what we always wanted, right? We always wanted a young core guys. This reminds me of the New York Yankees, and I'm not gonna touch up on this a whole lot. But remember, Mad Mike, when they had their core four and all those guys came up through the organization, look how many championships the New York Yankees won. And that's just four players on a baseball team.
Nah, I want to say five. I think people forget Bernie Williams. But I hear what you're saying. I definitely hear what you're saying. And I do think the future is bright for this team. I think, and you mentioned this young man already, Brad Zekas. I think that he's going to be special. I know he's a second-round pick. I was a huge fan of Michigan in the tournament. I honest to God, I think that because he's a white basketball player, and I don't care what anybody tells me, you can't separate black and white when it comes to NBA ball players. It's like in the NFL, like Aaron Rodgers said, if Jordy Nelson wasn't white, we'd be talking about him as one of the top five best wide receivers of this era. I just feel like this guy, you know what I mean? Like, they knock him for not being athletic enough. Why is that? I mean, you watched him with the ball. This man I saw him with a double pump from the sideline, a double pump, two-hand jam. He didn't look to me like there's nothing on the court that he's not capable of doing. Does he jump like LeBron James? No. Is he explosive like LeBron James? No, but how many people are? Like, I watched him. We're talking about a guy, was it the Washington game? What game was it? It was the Toronto game. Where they came all the way back, and he bangs the game-tying three-pointer. They end up losing in overtime, but, you know, he showed ice in his veins, not afraid to take the big shot. So I really, really like that. And if we're being honest, you know, they hit on all three picks last year, two picks and Trier as an undrafted free agent. And they hit on all, it looks like they already hit on these two. I mean, if your second round pick is looking better than your first round pick and your first round pick is the number three overall in RJ Barrett, I think you're doing pretty damn good, my opinion. The only problem, and we talked about it last week, and the only problem that I had with RJ Barrett, while he did get better as Summer League went on, Lloyd, the issue I had with him was he looked like a guy who didn't care if he had the hot hand or not. You know what I mean? He looked like a guy that was going to come in, and whether he had a feel for his three-point shot or not, he was going to take it. He looked like a guy who wasn't trying to fit. He was strong at the rim, settling for jump shots at times. That's my biggest knock on him. And that's not going to work in the regular season. That's not going to work against NBA ball players. He's got to figure out, and I guess that almost triple-double was a good sign, finishing out Summer League. He's got to figure out when he doesn't have his shot, what else can he do to help this team out? Because that was a knock on him at Duke, that he didn't care if he didn't have it. He was going to keep shooting until he found it. In the NBA, that doesn't work. You know, Chauncey Billups just came out earlier. I don't know if you saw the comments he made about Carmelo Anthony. Pretty damning comments he made. RJ Barrett cannot beat Carmelo Anthony. When Chauncey Billups comes out and says Carmelo Anthony was too consumed by scoring 30 points. If the team lost and he scored 30, he was upbeat and trying to keep everybody upbeat. If the team won and Carmelo didn't score 30 points, he held his head down like they just lost the game. That can't be RJ Barrett. RJ Barrett can't be about making sure he gets his at the expense of the team. He's got too much talent. He's got too good of court vision. He does hit the glass, as you saw, by the almost triple-double. He needs to find a way to impact the game and let guys like Kevin Knox and Alonzo Trier, you know, take over a game for him if he don't have it.
Like you said, the potential of him notching a triple-double, do you see that from Zion Williamson?
He didn't play. He only played one game. But
no, but
yeah,
I'm just saying,
right.
Like, his offensive, right. You know, RJ Barrett's offensive skill set, that's what I'm kind of alluding to.
You know, like I said before, listen, not everybody, you don't draft Steve Nash's godson on a day. You know what I mean? You don't get the chance to draft his godson on a yearly basis. So the fact of the matter is this kid is groomed. He's got good court vision. And if he doesn't know what he's looking at, you know, from a ball handling standpoint, he's got one of the best point guards, you know, his back pocket. if we want to be completely honest. So yeah, it's do I think that there's more there's potential to be a more well-rounded basketball player than Zion? Yeah, but I've been saying that. Do I think that Zion has the ability to make the guys around him better like Ja Morant does? No. I mean, does RJ Barrett have that? I don't know if he has that. Zion, on the other hand, has the kind of ability that's going to electrify a fan base. It's going to electrify an arena with one of those dunks. He can wake up a team with a dunk. So, I mean, all three of those guys, and those are the reason I bring them up is because those are the three guys that you're always going to compare in this draft. But like I said, if RJ Barrett turns out to be Antoine Jameson and not Vince Carter, we'll take that. We'll be 100% comfortable with that.
Now, also, I want to get your opinion on this, man, Mike, because obviously world championships are coming up. And Barrett has yet to decline his invitation from Team Canada. Are you okay with him participating in that? Because that's a lot of basketball.
I am. RJ Barrett just showed us in Summer League how rusty he can be. You know what I mean? He just showed us how good he could be with work. I mean, it took him 5-6 games, but he showed us what he could be with work. And I'm just speaking from a strictly what I just saw from last week to this week. Do I want that man out of basketball for another 2 months? I don't know that I do. I honestly don't know that I do. I think he's 19 years old. He's young. I know they say the rookie wall is real, but is he going to hit the rookie wall any harder if he plays over the next 6 weeks or not? We don't know. But I would let him play. I really would let him keep building confidence. Let him keep fixing that jump shot. Let him keep getting some more fine tuning at the free throw line. I would let him play. If it's me, I let him play. But I understand why you wouldn't want him to play.
And also to get your opinion on this, Matt Mike, because a scout was quoted as saying this, Matt Mike: when you pick at number three, you're trying to get an all-star. And he definitely doesn't look like an all-star. But he looked like he'll be in the NBA for a long time. That's what a scout was quoted as saying about RJ Barrett. What's your thoughts on that, Matt Mike? How do you feel? Do you think that the scout is correct about that? Can you see RJ Barrett as being an all-star in the NBA? You think that's far-fetched? I do agree that he will be in the NBA for quite some time. And I do think he has the potential to be an all-star player. Like most things, you have to perfect your craft. And one way Bob perfecting your craft and his craft is you got to work hard. And I don't doubt that this young man won't work hard to be better.
I mean, outside of LeBron James, what's the last 19-year-old all-star in the NBA?
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
You know, and that's what people got to remember. You know, he's not necessarily, he's a one and done. But remember, he went to school a year early. He went to Duke a year early. So we're looking at a kid who's coming to the NBA who should be in his, age-wise, should be in his first year of college basketball now. Outside of LeBron James, I can't think. I really can't recall the last 18, 19-year-old to make an all-star team. How do you know what an all-star looks like at this age? Zion Williams is an all-star because he can dunk and because he's a human highlight. He's not going to be an all-star because he's going to have great shooting numbers. He's going to have great rebounding numbers. He's going to have great defensive numbers. None of those things are make him an all-star. He's going to be an all-star because it's a fan favorite contest, because he's going to be in a dunk contest, because that's the only reason why, let's be honest. He's not going to be there because he can shoot the three. He's not going to be in there because he's shooting 75% from free throw line as a power forward. None of those things are going to happen. But, you know, whatever they want to say. Listen, at the end of the day, when you pick three, you're hoping to draft a future all-star. And there's nothing that we saw through five games that tells us that RJ Barrett is not going to be an all-star 3 years from now. As a matter of fact, I say, by the end of the tournament, he looked like a damn all-star. 21-10-8, 21-8-8, 21-7-7, whatever you want to call it, that's all-star numbers, aren't they?
You're right. If he goes out and puts that up on a consistent basis or close to it, especially comparing it to other all-star, you know, player numbers.
Not only that, but we have to see when he fills out his body. Is he going to be a two or is he going to be a three? Right now, he's slotted as the next shooting guard. Yes, as a shooting guard, he doesn't shoot it ideally, you know, at an ideally high percentage. But you know what? If we're talking about when was the last shooting guard? Go look it up. What's the last shooting guard that gave you numbers like 21, 7, and 6? And the reason I'm throwing those numbers out is those are numbers, those are rebound and assist numbers that people think that this man can actually hit on an average. So if we're saying this guy's going to go out 27 and 6 for a year, I mean, not many guys do that in the league. That's all-star status.
No, you're absolutely right. But the growth of Kevin Knox that I've seen, man, Mike, the confidence in his jump shot, the confidence in his game, that's what we want to see. Same thing with Mitchell Robinson. We call that swag. You just want players to get better from year to year, especially young players. And one thing I noticed that Mitchell Robinson is doing a lot better, man, Mike, is he's worked on his free throw shooting. Remember, we've always talked about how absolutely ridiculous it is for NBA players not to be able to make free throws? That's probably one of the easiest things to do better as an NBA player. He's gotten better at that, which means he's been in the gym working on it. And if you shoot free throws, Matt Mike, then you can work on your 10 to 15 foot range jump shot. One thing I did notice is that when he was shooting free throws, his form, he had a really good form. He has a really good form, Matt Mike. And that could transfer into him with the ability to him to hit 10 foot jump shots. Open jump shots. I'm not saying he has to dribble and create a shot and shoot. But if he's wide open from 10 feet, he doesn't have to, you know, I think he has the ability to hit that shot if he takes it. Right now, I don't think he has the confidence to take it. I think he's still going to go to the basket or pass off. But he can hit that. If he works on it, that's the next step for him. Kevin Knox looked a lot better this year as compared to last year. But he looked good last year in the summer camp as well, man, Mike. And then got to the regular season. And obviously the NBA season is a grind. And it's a grind unlike college basketball. And you're going to go through your ups and downs in a frame. You know, not every play, like you said, is LeBron James. LeBron James is a diamond in the rough. Where you come out and do what he did at the age of 18. So I like the potential that the Knicks have with the young core players. I really do. I so hope, Matt Mike, that at some point, Frank Ntilikina, I don't know if it's him with handcuffs on himself, if it's the Knicks with handcuffs on him, I just would like to see him be a bit more aggressive. And I think the organization has something to do with his timid play.
You know, one thing I'm gonna tell you, and you can agree with me or disagree with me. I think that I don't think summer league should be restricted to first and second year players. I understand why you want it to be restricted to first and second year players. I think that if you play a certain amount of games, 82 game season. Let's say 120 games, right? 60 games your first year and your second, or something like that, right? That should eliminate you from being part of the summer league. Frank Ntilikina is another guy. Came into the league at 18 years old. He's only 20 now. He's still very young. And he lost so much of his first 2 years to injuries and, you know, poor coaching, whatever you want to call it. But this past year, he lost so much of it to injuries that I'd say that he lost a whole year of development. I would have loved to see him get into there, you know, at the age of 20. This will be his age 21 season, I believe it is, and play in the summer league and see what he got. I mean, this is a guy that needs some reps. He needs some work. And that's one thing I'd like to see the NBA reconsider, because they let veterans play, veterans that are auditioning for teams. They allow them on the roster. So I don't understand why you wouldn't allow a third-year player who has X amount of games under his belt or lack thereof, you know, why he is prohibited from playing. I think that that's a something they should look at. He could really benefit from it. And yeah, to answer your question, I don't know who's to blame for it. If it's him, I don't know if he's just an unselfish guy playing with a lot of selfish players. Because that's also, you know, we can be honest, that's something that's been a knock on him. There's so many guys on this team, Lloyd, that is, you know, we watched Kevin Knox last year just chuck, whether he was hot or not. We've watched, help me out.
Alonzo Trier
just chuck. We've watched a guy that we like, you know, Dennis Smith Jr. We've watched him just chuck. We've watched so many players who don't really care if they're hot or not shoot the rock and just shoot. And he doesn't have that mentality where if he's not feeling it, you're going to watch him move the ball around. He's not going to do anything to hurt the team offensively, where these guys are. So sometimes I wonder if it's just a matter of him being too unselfish on a team full of selfish guys.
Yes, listen, and also, Mad Mike, let's talk about, before we go to a break, let's talk about Marcus Morris. All right, Marcus Morris, now he lands with the New York Knicks after originally agreeing to a deal with the San Antonio Spurs. And the Knicks have added one more player to their roster. They agreed on a one-year, $15 million contract with Marcus Morris. All right, Morris, he's 29 years old. He originally committed to a two-year, $20 million deal with the Spurs earlier this month, but it was reported that he was reconsidering that contract, leading San Antonio to withdraw that offer. I like him. He's a solid ball player. He averaged 13.9 points and 6.1 rebounds while shooting 37.5% from three-point range. And he was quoted as saying, "I had to make the best decision based on the best situation for me and my family."
Explain that to me. What does that mean?
Huh?
What does that mean? What does that mean? Because he also fired his agent. So what does that mean?
Yeah.
Was he told that there wasn't better deals out there for him?
Yeah, apparently he had a $41 million deal on a table from the Clippers, and he turned that down.
But you see, that's my point. And this is, you know, because I'm going to go on a different type of rant, a different tangent here. But do you think that Rich Paul is telling guys the truth? And this is what I was saying. This is the one knock I always had. If you were Adam Silver, if you were the league, how could you let this man, LeBron James's best friend, become an agent in a league? And you're right, because I heard the same exact thing you heard about the Clippers. And if you're him and Paul George is a Clipper and Kawhi Leonard is a Clipper and these guys now are one of the favorites for the title, and you didn't know about that contract? $41 million? Are we sure he was fully aware of that deal and turned it down? Because if I'm Rich Paul, who everyone thinks LeBron James is pulling the strings. Remember, he's not Nerlens Noel also fired Rich Paul this past weekend, not just Marcus Morris. So are you, because remember, Rich Paul, Nerlens Noel re-upped in OKC. Does Nerlens Noel turn down other deals, not knowing that Paul George is on his way out, not knowing that all of these other things are going on? Were you honest with him about this landscape of the league and where his offers were? Because if that's the case, you not directing Marcus Morris to the Clippers. Can you imagine if the Clippers landed Marcus Morris? All of a sudden, LeBron James' window in L.A. doesn't look so hot, right? His championship window is taking another hit. His best friend is going to direct a player, a client, to a direct competitor of his best friend and number one client?
Great point.
I'm just speculating. You know what I mean? I'm saying there's something there, because he got fired by two guys that seemed to not be happy with the teams that they were initially agreeing to, as if there were other offers out there they weren't aware of. Because now he's talking about what's best for me and my family. Why would you have accepted a deal? If you know what I mean? Like, are you suggesting that there's some funny business behind the scenes?
It's something to dig into. The Knicks have more cap space than originally anticipated because They're in the process of reworking a two-year, $21 million contract that they agreed to with Reggie Bullock, whose fitness to play is in question for the 2019-2020 season.
Yeah, I heard he might not be good for, he might not make it through a whole season, whether that means he's not going to start the year or they don't feel confident that he will finish the year healthy. But
what the
he
hell does
obviously.
Does that mean, though, man, Mike? Does that mean he's going to break his leg during the season? Like, what is it? Does it mean that his conditioning is poor? Like, I don't understand.
Maybe they said conditioning based, you know, they didn't want to hurt his market. So rather than say, hey, I gave this guy a physical and his meniscus is partially torn. You know, who knows? Maybe that's why they did it. But from all reports and stories I heard, they don't believe that he will play a full season. And they're not, you know, they still have the $4.8 million mid-level exception to give him if he's willing to take it. But I'll tell you this, if he's willing to take $4.8 million opposed to the $10 million he was scheduled to get, that means that they're aware, he's aware, or he's acknowledging that there is an injury there that either they tried to hide or in hope that it wasn't found, or it's something that came up that he just can't argue.
And how crazy is it that, not crazy, but, you know, everybody looks at the organization, the Knicks organization, as being a piss-poor organization, and Dolan as being one of the worst owners in all the sports, and I agree. He probably is the worst, not probably, he is the worst owner in all the sports outside of Donald Sterling, and you see what happened to him. But Bullock's agent, Bauman, spoke highly of the Knicks organization, and I say that to say that that's actually a good thing for this organization, man, Mike, with the heat that they've been getting for somebody to come out and say something positive about the way they handle the situation.
Yeah, and that's what I'm telling you. I think that they found a legitimate injury, and to not kill his market, they did not go public with the injury. And not for nothing, but that just goes to show you, and not you specifically, because I know that you're on board with this front office, and to me, it just goes to show you how much they've grown in this front office. It doesn't seem like they're doing anything petty. It seems like everything they're doing right now is on the up and up, and that's how you handle it, man. Listen, when an agent comes out and they're supportive and they are happy with the way you handle, you know, something like this, this could be crippling for a player and an agent, right? I mean, we don't know if the Knicks are going to sign them. They can choose to go another way and use their mid-level somewhere else. And then what's he stuck with? He's stuck with nothing. So,
and apparently the Knicks are still optimistic that they can sign him. So does it make sense to sign him? Maybe they might sign him in good faith. Who knows, man, Mike? Who knows? And we all know that the Knicks were reportedly targeting Kyrie and Kevin Durant this summer. We both know, and all of us, all the listeners know, and sports fans know, both stars ended up going to the Brooklyn Nets. And then New York went on to sign Wayne Ellington, Elfrid Payton, Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, and now Marcus Morris. All right, and Steve Mills was quoted on record as saying, our plan wasn't to create $70 million and room to go after free agents this summer. Our plan was to organically build this team through teamwork, drafting well, getting high-character guys that want to compete.
I don't think he's being dishonest there. The media, I think the media went off. Like Bobby Portis said, we knew where KD was going. We knew since February where KD and Kyrie were going. It's no secret. The media didn't know. So when the Knicks did it, I think the Knicks understood that too. I think what people are upset about is the fact that KP got traded. But listen, KP has been a problem for a long time. And I keep saying it. Who was KP's mentor? Carmelo Anthony. I just finished having this conversation. Yo, if you listen to what Chauncey Billups said, that's who Carmelo Anthony is. The seeds, KP is never going to be he's never going to be that guy. He wasn't going to be that guy here. He wasn't going to be a team player. He was always going to be a me guy. A superstar that felt like he was entitled and owed, And that comes from who his mentor was. And if you're the Knicks, I think that they've done it correctly. They've got a bunch of hard-nosed, tough guys who just play the game the right way and play hard. And that's what you want around outside of Reggie Bullock, I'm on board with all of these moves. I am. Now, Reggie Bullock, I just felt like he was taken away from R.J. Barrett's development.
Now, get but this, yeah, man, Mike. Before we go to a break, I brought up to somebody at work, at my office, I was like, look, this team can literally fool around and make the playoffs. And that person looked at me like I'm crazy. That's not far-fetched, listeners. That's not far-fetched, Knicks fans. That this team could actually make the playoffs in a weak Eastern Conference. Yes, teams got better, but the teams that got better were teams that were in the top echelon of the Eastern Conference. Boston got better. Philly got better. Milwaukee resigned their players. I think losing Kawhi Leonard is a tough pill to swallow for Toronto, but they still got a solid team up in Toronto. The Heat lost Whiteside. They got Jimmy Butler. Is Jimmy Butler going to take Miami to the playoffs? I can't say yes, and I can't say no. Question mark. Charlotte lost Kemba Walker. Orlando is not as solid as they were. Is Kyrie good enough to take the Nets to the playoffs? Or lead the Nets to the playoffs like D'Angelo Russell did? Remember, D'Angelo Russell didn't miss a lot of games, listeners, because of injuries. At some point, you will see Kyrie Irving in street clothes sitting on that bench.
That's what I think you're right about. The haves got better. The have-nots didn't necessarily get better. And if you're Miami, I mean, does Jimmy Butler make Miami 8 seed? Maybe. Does he make them a 7 seed? Maybe. But does he guarantee them a spot? No. Does Orlando re-upping? Orlando didn't add anybody. Orlando re-upped all of their guys. I mean, we're talking about a team that's a 9, 8, 9 seed. 7 seed, if everything breaks right. I mean, yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I'm totally with you. Well, and then that's Detroit, like I said.
But Detroit has about 63 guards on their roster.
Detroit is another team that is kind of like, I don't like to count out Dwayne Casey. I think Dwayne Casey is proven, but no, you're not wrong. And I mean, even if the Knicks win 32 games, listen, we just saw the New Orleans Pelicans get the number one overall draft pick with like a 35 game. They were knocking on the door of the 8th seed in the West and got number one. So, yeah, if you're the Knicks, knock on the door of the playoffs. Show these teams that you're making a turn. And I'll throw a name out there, you know, that you might actually be on board with. That who knows? Apparently, reports are Rick Paul pushing hard for Anthony Davis to get to the Knicks. And the Knicks are the ones that didn't want to give up the players and draft picks to acquire him. So listen, even though he's with the Lakers, if he doesn't like how it goes playing under LeBron James this year, if they're, say, let's say a 3 or 4 seed only, LeBron's only getting older, does he jump ship to New York for just the money?
It's a possibility. Look, Kawhi Leonard only signed, what, he signed a 2-year deal with a player option?
Yeah. So but 2021, I hear, if they win a title with the Clippers, I can see Kawhi maybe considering coming here after 2 years if they win a title with the Clippers in the next two. But that 2-year deal is only so he can get his 10-year $240 million deal. That's all that is. Same with, because, you know, if you're 10 years, if you play 10 years, you qualify for the Supermax. You don't got to be voted on one of these All-NBA teams. And I think that's what that's more about, getting his 10 years under him and then re-upping for, what, 221 or whatever it is? You know, 5 years, 221, 4 years, whatever. That's what I think that's about. And Chris Paul for that, right? Chris Paul knew he was on his way out and negotiated a deal for 10-year players.
I'm through believing in any high price or high ticket free agent is going to come to New York. But one thing I will say is that they're still in position to make a move. Maybe somebody might take that leap of faith. Who knows in 2021? But we'll see. But we'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show, as we got to talk about the Russell Westbrook trade to the Houston Rockets. So we'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, we talk New York Knicks Summer League basketball. We talked about the Marcus Morris signing. We talked about the whole Reggie Bullock issue and some other topics as well. But now let's talk about Russell Westbrook being traded from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul. And I'm not really sure how to start, what to say. Russell Westbrook, he doesn't play for Oklahoma City Thunder anymore, and that's a player that I actually saw finishing his career with that particular team, Mad Mike. But things are different in the NBA nowadays. Things are different. And he got traded to the Houston Rockets in exchange for Chris Paul, first round picks in 2024, 2026, and a right to swap picks from OKC's end in 2021 and 2025. This whole thing, Mad Mike, makes me feel gross. I'm not just talking about with Westbrook. I'm just talking about how players are dictating their moves that are still under not just one-year deals or two-year deals, Mad Mike. What does Westbrook sign for, 4 more years?
Yeah, I don't want to put this one on him. Everybody knows I'm not a fan of his.
I know he wanted to stay. I knew he kind of, he was quoted as saying, you know, I'm ready to roll up my sleeves, so to speak, and get to work.
Yeah, this is more about Paul George leaving. This is a matter of a small, and this is, you'll hear me in my rant, but this is a matter of a small market team who just ran out of opportunities. And, you know, they did right by him, and he's done right by them. He's done right by them trying to stay and doing everything he could to win it for them. And, you know, you feel bad for it. You feel absolutely bad for him. You feel bad for them. But, you know, Kawhi convincing Paul George to leave, it was the death blow for them. It was a death blow. And they knew that they couldn't, that there's no trades. Yeah, you know, we can have the conversation, right? What superstar is out there, Lloyd, that's demanding a trade that you believe would re-sign in OKC? And there's nobody out there, right? Anybody that is available, now you're also taking a chance that they want to play with Russell Westbrook. Declining athleticism, 31 years old, ball hog, high usage rate, high shot, poor shot selection, declining percentages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For them, it made more sense to flip him and get the two first round draft picks. You get CP3 back, who Harden and CP3 don't like each other. They just don't. And if I'm seeing, and I think CP3 is older, but I would trust him more than I trust Harden. From a standpoint of, Harden just seems like a guy that's out for his own, right? We've seen him in the playoffs. Whether the team is winning or losing, he's out for his own. He's going to shoot, blah, blah, blah. Sounds a lot like Russell Westbrook. But now I get Chris Paul, who I can flip for another one or two draft picks. They already have 13 draft picks in the first round draft picks in the next 7 years. Think about that. 13 picks in the next 7 years and the right to swap 4 picks, 2 with Houston and 2 with, well, I'm sorry, 3 picks, 2 with Clippers and 1, I believe, with Houston, right? You know what kind of curl that is? And now if you can get another 1 or 2 for CP3, come on, man. This team is going to have 16 draft picks, first round draft picks in the next 7 years. Now they're going to rebuild quick.
I want to play devil's advocate for a second, man, Mike. And I want your opinion on this, okay? I really want to know how much does this trade move the needle for the Houston Rockets? And that's open to interpretation. Look, Westbrook has been off with the core principle of Houston's analytics-heavy style of play and shooting efficiency. He fits in a, you know, offense that lives and dies by James Harden every movement. And that's going to require adjustment, man, Mike.
Yo, think about this. who was number one in usage. And what I mean is number one in control. Who had the ball, the most out of their team's percentage of possessions? Who had the ball the most in the NBA this year? Over the last 2 years?
If you're talking about Houston, I know it's damn James Harden.
Yeah, it was. James Harden was number two in the league. Who was number one?
Westbrook.
Yeah.
And now you have them playing in the same backcourt.
How is that going to work, Lloyd? They both require the ball to be effective. So what are we going to do? We're going to come down to court one possession. It's going to be Westbrook. One possession. It's going to be Harden. One possession, Westbrook. One possession, Harden. What are we doing here? You can't have two guys that are averaging almost 70%, ball control.
The verdict is out on which play will adjust. Because it's going to be interesting, man, Mike. Who of the two is going to be willing to adjust their game? Look, I don't think this move wasn't a harmless experiment. The Rockets sent the Thunder, like you said, two first-round picks, two swaps. But who's the true winner? Who's the true loser? And I have to agree with Mad Mike. I think the winner is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're stacking picks, listeners.
And they can still move Steven Adams. We ain't even talked about that yet. They still have the ability to move Steven Adams and CP3. And they will move one of them. And they will get more first-round picks.
Look, they accepted defeat once Paul George left the building.
Correct.
And maybe they went to Westbrook and was like, look, we'll give you the opportunity to leave if you want to leave, but we kind of want you to leave. And obviously, if you present that to a player and the player sees the direction that you're going in, at that point, I would want out the door too. And like you said, I don't expect Adams to be on there. Who they can get a good amount of picks for, or Chris Paul for that matter. And in the end, they got a tremendous haul since George trade request. OKC added Paul, Danilo Gallinari, young point guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 7 first-round picks, 4 pick swaps. That's as strong as a restart as they could have hoped for, Mad Mike.
And once again, they still have their own picks. And if they're bad, those picks will be pretty damn high in the draft. So, and remember something else. Those picks, they got 5 picks from the Clippers. 2 of those picks are not from the Clippers. So when everyone's like, well, the Clippers are going to be really good, so those picks are going to be really bad. No, they're the Miami Heat. 2 of them belong to Miami Heat. 2, not 1, 2. So they have the ability to there might be a couple years there where they're picking, they have 2 picks in the lottery. And like you just mentioned with Kawhi Leonard, God forbid Kawhi Leonard doesn't re-sign after 2 years with the Clippers. The title would be worth it, but can you imagine how bad they're going to be if Paul George opts out of his 3rd year? He's got 2 more years left. If he opts out of that 4th year and Kawhi doesn't re-sign as well, come on, dude. These picks could become, they could end up having 3 lottery picks in 1 year. Like that. Snap your fingers. It's crazy.
And we both agree Paul isn't the right fit for a rebuild. And he's definitely on his way out, and supposedly, he's requesting a trade to the Miami Heat.
Yeah, but the Heat are not, from what I've heard, the Heat are not as diehard on a trade for Chris Paul as they were for Russell Westbrook. That's 1. And 2, the Heat are not, do not have as much draft capital because, remember, their picks went to the Clippers already, the Heat's pick. So, And then you figure they already traded Hassan Whiteside. So how much young talent do they have? A lot of their young talent went in the trade. Remember, they already traded Hassan Whiteside in the draft pick, and they already sent Josh Richardson in the Jimmy Butler move. So a lot of their young talent is not exactly there either. So can they make that happen? Maybe.
Listen, I definitely think OKC was the winner in this deal. And here's why I think the Houston Rockets were the losers in this deal, Mad Mike. At one point, I thought the Rockets were a beautifully oil-running machine in the eyes of those who worship the efficiencies of a wing-stacked roster built on, you know, the magnificence of extraterrestrial offensive beings, so to speak. Look at how their roster was set up this past year, and I thought that they were the one team that could have beat the Golden State Warriors. I did. I really did. But that's not Westbrook. It's the Rockets' Harden era. The high usage, like you said, wildly inefficient, and a rash defender. The fit with Harden is impractical given where the roster currently stands. And the history of how Westbrook, oh my gosh, it still is just baffling my mind. How do you space those two guys, man, Mike? How is this going to work?
Well, it's funny,
and
right?
On top of it, Houston lost significant assets.
It's neither one of them. If you look at these two players, right, and you say, let's say Carmelo Anthony was an ISO ball guy and needed the ball in his hands to do anything. Like, all of his game came off of him having a ball in his hands. Neither one of these guys were able to play with him, right? Russell Westbrook 2 years ago couldn't watch Melo leave fast enough, and he only lasted 10 games with Paul and Harden this past year. So if I'm looking at that and saying they struggle to coexist with a ball-dominant perimeter player in Melo, why do I believe that they wouldn't struggle trying to coexist together? It fails for the same reason. Yeah, Melo's not as good as them. That's not what I'm saying. Melo, it doesn't have the talent, no. But at the same time, he was just as high usage, low efficient player as Russell Westbrook is. And he required the ball in his hands, and he was just as ball dominant as James Harden is. It didn't work for either two of those teams. And the reason I say we can use that is because we saw it in back-to-back years. Why the hell do we think this would work? I don't think it would work.
And let's get this. People were saying how bad of a teammate Chris Paul was and how stubborn he can be. But let's face it, Russell Westbrook could become more of a public nightmare than Chris Paul ever was. And one
you
thing
tell me.
Yeah, man, Mike, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you tell me the one teammate that Chris Paul ran out of a building. Let's never forget, Russell Westbrook ran Kevin Durant out of the building.
And possibly
don't ever
Paul
forget
George.
That.
I was just saying, like, why stars leaving OKC the way that they are? In the blink of an eye, Paul George, he signed a contract, and he's like, y'all want out.
Yeah, like I said last week, what does that say?
That has to say something. And one thing I also say, Matt Mike, is that at least Chris Paul and Harden worked on the court together. Chris Paul was able to play off the ball.
If you're Chris Paul and you see that it didn't work the first time, and your main gripe is that Houston made absolutely zero adjustments from last year, this year, like, do you blame him? I don't blame him. I don't see how anybody else can blame him. Listen, it didn't work last year. We for too long, we blamed my injury for why it didn't work. And instead, we stopped looking at all the things they did well and all the things we didn't do well. We didn't change a damn thing. We were still shooting 35 three-pointers a game. We were still playing wildly inefficient. We were still relying on James Harden to be too much of a creator.
And we all know Russ is going to take the ball out of Harden's hands more than Chris Paul.
Correct.
That's a fact.
Correct. And James the shooter, is James as good a shooter if he doesn't have the space that he's creating off the dribble? He's not going to catch a pass and just put him up with no space. He's going to have to put the ball on the deck, right, to create the space. So, I just don't see it, man. I don't know. 38
touches last year, Matt Mike, without passing the ball. This is James Harden. 38 consecutive touches where this dude was given a ball and then pass it to another teammate. 38 consecutive times, listeners. Someone passed the ball to James Harden and he shot the damn ball.
Did he really?
Yes. Yes. How crazy of a stat is that?
I didn't know that. But that goes and proves our point. Wow.
I'm not saying 38 straight possessions.
Do you know what that is?
I'm not saying 38.
No, what you're saying is 38. He hit the ball 38 straight times where he took the shot. He didn't pass the ball.
Where he didn't pass the ball to another team.
That is
where somebody
ridiculous.
Passed the ball to him and he either dribbled a shot or took a shot.
That's ridiculous.
He's a shot nut. Great player. Great player. Shot nut.
Great player in today's NBA where
That's
you can't
why
touch Carmelo anybody.
Anthony didn't fit in with the Houston Rockets when he was there. Shot nut. You can't have shot nuts on the same team with each other. Because at some point, people are like, you know what?
The Houston Rockets are blinded by star power.
Let's face it, man, Mike. You would like to say Houston shoots a lot of three-pointers. Russell Westbrook is not a three-point shooting point guard. His game is driving to the basket and using his athleticism. And we all know when he drives to the basket, he's driving to the basket to shoot. He's not driving to the basket to penetrate, attract defenders, and kick out. Triple-double. And people say, well, you know what? He did get 10 assists. That's people's argument. Well, you know, he's not that selfish. He averaged 10 assists a game. Well, you know what? If I'm looking to score triple doubles, I'll get 10 assists when I need to. Instead of taking a layup, I'll dish the ball off to a teammate. There's an easy assist. How about that? Great rebounder, probably one of the best rebounding point guards that I've seen before. Oh, I can grab a rebound and hand off to some, which big men usually do, and hand off to somebody else. I can grab a rebound and hand off to Steven Adams. It's going to be interesting because you know what? Steven Adams was responsible for a lot of his triple-doubles, Matt Mike. Because I just see Steven Adams unselfishly hand the ball to Westbrook.
So no, I don't. You know, not for nothing, man. We put a lot of blame on Russell Westbrook, but we forget that James Harden has not necessarily made it work with his share of superstars either. He didn't make it work with Dwight Howard, and remember how disgruntled that falling out was at the end. He didn't make it work with CP3. So I know we always ask the question, why don't people want to play with Russell Westbrook? The other question now I think we can ask is, why don't superstars play well with James Harden? You know, Dwight Howard took, you know, everyone was saying, oh, you get the big man superstar and you got the backcourt superstar player in James Harden. It will work because it's two totally different talents doing two totally different things. And then when that didn't work, it was, all right, well, let's go get Chris Paul because it's too much strain on James Harden to do it all in the backcourt. And Capella, you know, kind of flourished. They gave him that big money. And then, you know, I don't know, man. I think it's a fair question to ask.
It's going to be interesting. A lot of people think A lot of people want to rank that dynamic duo of Westbrook and Harden up there with the other dynamic duos that's forming now in the NBA. So it's going to be interesting to see how those guys, how they play together. It really is. But before we talk a little bit of baseball, man, Mike, the Brooklyn Nets, they completed their roster with another on-board signing. They signed shooting guard David Nwaba from Cleveland. 26-year-old. Supposedly, he's athletic, 6'4". He averaged 7.2 points, 3.9 rebounds in his three-year career. But reports is that he's an excellent perimeter defender. And was arguably Cleveland's best perimeter defender last year. And according to people, they feel if you put him on the court with Caris LeVert, that helps Kyrie Irving out. That picks up his inefficiencies to defend. And Nwaba has a 7-foot wingspan and exceptional athleticism. So they signed a player that has athleticism and is a great defender. Boy, talk about the organization that's tooting their horns, Mad Mike. Rightfully so. Maybe they deserve to toot their horns, so to speak. Boy, if this thing blows up in their face, Mad Mike. And I hate to sound like a hater. I really do. But when I subjectively look at the deal now, Mad Mike, as compared to when it initially happened, maybe it's a good thing we did steer clear of at least Kyrie Irving.
Look, I'm be honest with you. I don't want Kyrie Irving anywhere next to my young core. I just don't. And I don't care what the Nets say. I mean, do you think that there's a reason why they didn't work in the locker room with the young Celtics? I mean, you're talking about a team that went to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals a year before without you. And it just didn't work. And a lot, Brad Stevens has taken a lot of the blame. But if Kyrie Irving is not coachable, then what can Brad Stevens do? And in the locker room, yeah, we want to believe a coach has to manage the locker room and the personality. If your team doesn't get along, they just don't get along. And don't think that the players that went to the Eastern Conference Finals aren't looking at him a certain way. When he talks about they're not taking the game serious, when he talks about the fact that they don't know how to win, they go to the Eastern Conference Finals without you, dude. And when Danny Ainge is bending over backwards for you, it causes a rift. Terry Rozier was the best one. And nobody made more sacrifice for this team than me. When you hear about Kyrie Irving talking about his sacrifice, that was a direct shot at Kyrie Irving.
Listen, so, I can easily see this team not making the playoffs, man, Mike. I'm not saying that Brooklyn, that they're not going to make the playoffs. But you heard it here first, listeners. I wouldn't be surprised if the Brooklyn Nets did not make the playoffs despite having Kyrie Irving.
Me too.
That's how much I thought D'Angelo Russell helped this team win last year, man, Mike.
And listen, D'Angelo Russell might still be a Nick. He might still be a Nick. Because, like I was reading, you go and you get Bobby Portis and Reggie Bullock or Bobby Portis and another one of these guys making $10 million, let's say Wayne Ellington, who can shoot the lights out, Bobby Portis, who's a great offensive player, and attaches a draft pick to them and send it over to the Golden State Warriors. You don't think that would land you D'Angelo Russell right now?
Yeah, let's also throw out the fact that the Knicks can't trade these guys just yet. I think they have to wait
December 15th.
Yeah, December 15th until they're able.
But
to
that's play. My point. And if you're the Warriors, why wouldn't you want to make that move? Kevin Durant supposedly, and he's another screw face, salty ass piece of you know what. forcing them to add in a first round pick because simply
crazy is that?
I'm Kevin Durant.
Straight up trade offer for D'Angelo Russell. Durant. Are you serious?
Yeah. So to me, it's like, dude, you're Kevin Durant, but you're coming off Achilles surgery. Nobody knows what the hell you're gonna be. Get over yourself. So, the reason I'm saying that is because there's still a path for him to be a Knick, because the Knicks can give up salary cap relief and they can give draft picks. They can give a young player, like I said, Bobby Portis, only 25 years old, and Wayne Ellington can shoot the lights out for Golden State, and that's what they do out there. So, you know, and the two first round picks, all of a sudden, now, you know, not, and it's probably not going to happen, but I'm just speaking because I saw that as, you know, one of the potentials, Knicks as one of the potential suitors with them. But, you know, we'll see, man. We'll see how that goes.
Listen, the Knicks front office is finally controlling this organization's destiny. Before, the players controlled it. Eddie Curry, Jerome James.
Yep.
Wow. Unbelievable. But let's move on. Before we close out the show and get to Mad Mike's rant, listeners, we got to talk a little bit of baseball real quick. As the July 31st trade deadline is nearing, and we got a little bit of taste of someone that could potentially be in pinstripes, someone that me and the Mad Mike want in pinstripes, and that young man is New York native Marcus Stroman, pitcher from the Toronto Blue Jays, who's came out and said that he would love to pitch for the Yankees. He loves New York. He loves all the pressure. He loves the big stage. He loves the bright lights. It seems like this could possibly be a marriage made in heaven, Matt Mike. The big question is, do the Yankees get this deal done, or does somebody come along, swoop in, and steal Stroman from the Yankees? I'm hoping that's not the case. I'm kind of having a feeling that that's going to be the case because apparently Toronto is asking for the stars. And I think at one point they were asking for Gleyber Torres, which is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But I would actually come at them with a package of Davey Garcia, Miguel Andujar, and possibly Esteban Florial or Clint Frazier. But I got to be getting back some of that top bullpen, some of these young bullpen arms that Toronto is able to run out there. Or I need to get, I need to get something in addition to Marcus Stroman for that kind of package. Otherwise, I could see them moving a guy like Davey Garcia and Miguel Andujar. Vlad Guerrero Jr. doesn't look like he's going to be a third baseman for too long. He's already way too big for the position. Unless you see him losing all that weight, I see him finding himself in right field like it pops, maybe at first base. Miguel Andujar slides into third base. And then Davey Garcia can be just another one of those young pitching arms, you know, young aces that they can develop on their end. That's what I see. And for me, Marcus Stroman is the only guy that I would target. Like I said, Max Scherzer at the top of the show, he's got too much deferred money. There's too much things that can go wrong. You don't want to have money tied in like Bobby Bonilla when you're trying to compete later on 10 years from now. Marcus Stroman on the contract for two more years, unlike Baumgartner. He's younger. He might not be as proven in October, but he's not going to hold you ransom at the end of this year. He's got one more year for you to figure out, you know, what kind of deal he's going to get and get him locked up.
We'll see what. Listen, I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees possibly add two starters along, you know, maybe Trevor Bauer and Stroman. Like, you don't know what may happen. But I have a feeling something. Listen, Stroman took the loss yesterday, so he's 5-10 now. He actually pitched a really good game against the Yankees. Then he had a wild pitch, and I don't know why the catcher who fielded the ball decided to come to the plate and tag Gio Urshela on his chest instead of his foot.
Yeah, that was
strong, but great slide by Urshela, though. Urshela, I'm sorry. Great slide by him. But it was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the pitcher thought the catcher, because of the bounce on the play back to him, the ricochet back to him, I think he thought he had a little more time and went high because the ball came back to him so fast. I thought it was, you know, it was a great slide by Urshela, but I thought that, you know, I thought if he would have leaned back a little more, he could have made his life a little easier, and not given a tag. But man, it's either way, it was a strange play by the catcher. You get your, that's what I was always taught. On a wild pitch, you and a runner coming home, you get your glove low into the feet, not right. into the chest.
Exactly. The Yankees have a big 4-game set this evening with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Yeah.
At the stadium. Big 4-game set. They split the last 4-game set before the All-Star break in Tampa Bay. And Boston, you know, Boston is playing a little bit better baseball. They you know, they staying around. Listen, they're in a wild card race. They added a pitcher to Andrew Cashner from Baltimore. Now, he's not
he's
a stud.
He's been money, man.
Huh?
He's been money over the last nine starts or 12 starts.
The one
he's
good
been
thing, the reason why I'm not really nervous, man, Mike, is because the Yankees usually hit him pretty well. They usually
That's
hit him pretty well, so it's not a pitcher that Boston is obtaining that dominates the Yankees. But it's a nice pickup for them. Nice pickup for them. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, the deadline is coming up, and we'll cover the comings and goings of Major League Baseball players when that happens. But before we close this show out, we're at the part of the show that everybody loves, as now it's time for Mad Mike's rant as he goes off about something that he totally is not in favor of from a week, in a week's time. So, Mad Mike, what you got for me and the listeners on today's show, brother? What's your rant?
I got a few things today. One, MLB, fix the home run derby. Stop treating me like I'm an idiot. How the hell did Jock Peterson and Vlad Guerrero combine for 79 total home runs in their round, and neither one of them were in the final? How is that possible? That has to stop. Stop playing with my emotions. Kevin Durant, shut your mouth. You blew out your Achilles tendon. As far as I'm concerned, you going to sit this whole year? D'Angelo Russell is not only on your level, but for this year, he's a hell of a lot more valuable than you are. This ego trip you're on of you better throw in a first-round pick or I'm not agreeing to this sign and trade, get the hell out of here with that. Houston Rockets and Daryl Morey, what the hell are you doing? Enough with the superstars. Go out and build a team the right way. What the hell are you doing? Put in the two ball-hoggiest guys you can find in the NBA on the same roster, in the same backcourt. At that, what the hell are you doing? Anthony Davis, coming out again in your introduction and telling me that you're taking control of your career. That's why you demanded a trade. If that was the case and you were taking control of your team, of your career, why the hell did you allow Rich Paul and LeBron James to dictate where you were being traded to? Their L.A. Lakers. Shut up and play ball. You want to take control of your career? Do what Giannis did. Become great and uplift your team. Don't go join forces somewhere else talking about you taking control. All you are is just another puppet. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. And lastly, Brian Cashman, you better go get me a goddamn starter. And I'm not talking about the Matt Boyds of the world. You better go get me a goddamn starter. I'm talking Marcus Stroman and any other superstar that's going to lift this team to a World Series. Otherwise, you wasted my time. You're wasting Lloyd's time. You're wasting our listeners' time. And you're nothing but a phony who is capable of doing nothing without open pockets and millions of dollars from Hal Steinbrenner. All of you, shut up and get it done the right way.
All right, there you have it, listeners. And look, the stars are definitely in line for the Yankees to win the World Series this year. He has to get the job done. You are absolutely right, man, Mike. He has to get the job done, and he has to bring a start in here or two that can put this team that could go blow for blow with the likes of Verlander and Gerrit Cole in Houston, because as of now, that seems the team to beat. And then if you're going to compete with somebody like the Dodgers, you got to be able to go blow for blow with their starting rotation as well. As right now, the Yankees don't have blow for blow starting pitchers. I'm not sold on J.A. Happ. I'm not sold on James Paxton pitching better down the stretch. I'm not sold on CeCe Sabathia. I'm not sold on Masahiro Tanaka, who seems to give up the long ball way too much for my liking. The only person that's really been consistently good thus far, Mad Mike, is Domingo Germán. And that's the reality of the situation. But listeners, that brings us to a close of this week's show. Me and Mad Mike want to thank you for continuously sticking in, sticking with us, and listening to the show and supporting us. And we want to thank our producer, Ayo Omar Baker, for rocking out with us as well. As I think right about now, he's finishing up, I don't know if it's his first cup or his third cup, but he's finishing up one a cup of some sort of cups of coffee, whatever the case may be. So we want to thank him as well. So listeners, have a safe and blessed week. And me and the Mad Mike will see you in 7 days. Cashman, let's get it done, baby. Get a Strowman up in the pinstripes. So, hey, yo, let's roll, baby.
Only one cup of coffee today so far. I've definitely needed several cups to be able to keep up with everything that's been going on in the NBA this offseason. Summer League's coming to a close, but there's still moves to be made. And I just can't wait for the actual season to start. Definitely looking forward to this year, the 19/20 NBA season. There's so many different faces on different teams, it's just insane. It's like a complete fantasy league now. But yeah, man, I appreciate everybody for checking out the show. The Lloyd A. Thompson, the Mad Mike Sports Show, as you know, drops every single Monday. If you are subscribed, thank you. If not, you could do so. Everywhere podcasts are available, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you're on Twitter or Instagram, you can follow at Lloyd A. Thompson. Just make sure you throw two L's in the name, spell it correctly. And if you have a question that you want to be answered on a future episode of the show, you can send that question directly to Lloyd at LloydAThompson.com. Once again, brand new episodes of the podcast drop every Monday. It's the Lloyd A. Thompson, the Mad Mike Sports Show. We'll catch y'all in 7 days. Peace.